darkness. Through the doorway of the hut, he could feel the night, huge and damp, flowing in and bringing with it the sounds of its own life. Tickings and creakings, small private rustlings, and beyond that the soughing of the forest, mile after mile. When he got up and stepped out through the doorway, there was no cry, no guard, only the living night. The air moved around him, full of rich, dank smells. Trees stood tall over him. A breeze shivered through the leaves, then died, and left only the vast fact of the forest. He was nothing more than a flea on the side of some enormous, quiet creature. Down the hill, the settlement was hidden by the darkness. A dog barked in a tired way and stopped. From the bay where the Alexander was anchored, there was a sense of restless water shifting in its bed of land and swelling up against the shore. Above him in the sky was a thin moon and a scatter of stars as meaningless as spilt rice. There was no pole star, a friend to guide him on the Thames, no bear that he had known all his life, only this blaze, unreadable, indifferent. All the many months in the Alexander, lying in the hammock which was all the territory he could claim in the world, listening to the sea slap against the side of the ship and trying to hear the voices of his own wife, his own children, in the noise from the women's quarters, he had been comforted by telling over the bends of his own Thames, the Isle of Dogs, the deep, eddying pool of Rotherhithe, the sudden twist of the sky as the river swung around the corner to Lambeth. They were all as intimate to him as breathing. Daniel Ellison grunted in his hammock beside him, fighting even in his sleep. The women were silent beyond their bulkhead, and still in the eye of his mind he rounded bend after bend of that river. Now, standing in the great sighing lung of this other place and feeling the dirt chill under his feet, he knew that life was gone. He might as well have swung at the end of the rope they had measured for him. This was a place, like death, from which men did not return. It was a sharp stab like a splinter under a nail, the pain of loss. He would die here under these alien stars, his bones rot in this cold earth. He had not cried, not for 30 years, not since he was a hungry child, too young to know that crying did not fill your belly. But now his throat was thickening, a press of despair behind his eyes forcing warm tears down his cheeks. There were things worse than dying. Life had taught him that. Being here in New South Wales might be one of them. It seemed at first to be the tears welling, the way the darkness moved in front of him. It took a moment to understand that the stirring was a human, as black as the air itself. His skin swallowed the light and made him not quite real, something only imagined. His eyes were set so deeply into the skull that they were invisible, each in its cave of bone. The rock of his face shaped itself around the big mouth, the imposing nose, the folds of his cheeks. Without surprise, as though he were dreaming, Thornhill saw the scars drawn on the man's chest, each a neat line raised and twisted, living against the skin. He took a step towards Thornhill so that the parched starlight from the sky fell on his shoulders. He wore his nakedness like a cloak. Upright in his hand, the spear was part of him, an extension of his arm. Clothed as he was, Thornhill felt skinless as a maggot. The spear was tall and serious. To have evaded death at the end of the rope, only to go like this, his skin punctured and blood spilled beneath these chilly stars. And behind him, hardly hidden by that flap of bark, were those soft parcels of flesh, his wife and children. Anger, that old familiar friend, came to his side. "Damn your eyes, be off!" he shouted. "Go to the devil!" After so long as a felon, hunched under the threat of the lash, he felt himself expanding back into his full size. His voice was rough, full of power, his anger a solid warmth inside him. He took a threatening step forward, could make out chips of sharp stone in the end of the spear. It would not go through a man neat as a needle. It would rip its way in. Pulling it out would rip all over again. The thought